proclaiming the gospel to the Jew first and also to the Greek. Shalom and welcome to the Everlasting Nation, a radio ministry of International Board of Jewish Missions.
This is Mark Oshman with the International Board of Jewish Missions, presenting another radio Bible broadcast. In our ongoing series about the judgments of God, we turn our attention to those judgments mentioned in the New Testament. Today's program will focus on the judgment seat of Christ. To understand the setting of that particular judgment seat, we have to consider the times in which the New Testament writers lived. In the ancient Roman world, rulers issued judicial decree at a locale colloquially known as the judgment seat. At that place, according to John chapter 19, Pontius Pilate passed his sentence against Jesus Christ. Gallio, the deputy of Achaia, sat in his judgment seat when he heard accusations that a Jewish group brought against Paul, an incident recorded in the 18th chapter of Acts. Paul stood trial before the Roman governor Festus in Acts chapter 25, at Festus' judgment seat located in the city of Caesarea. What about the judgment seat of Christ? Paul used that phrase in the 5th chapter of 2 Corinthians to refer to a future judgment for Christians. What purpose will the judgment seat of Jesus Christ serve? First, the judgment seat of Christ will not determine the person's eternal destiny. That is to say, whether or not that person will spend eternity in heaven or in hell. That circumstance depends solely on whether an individual has accepted Jesus Christ as his or her Savior. As the Lord said in the 5th chapter of John's Gospel, quote, "He that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life, and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life," unquote. Paul made a statement in Romans chapter 14 that, quote, "We shall all stand before the judgment seat of Christ," unquote. This assertion applied only to Christians and not to unbelievers, as evidenced by Paul's usage of the first-person pronoun, we. Paul expected that he himself would have to stand before the judgment seat of Christ. At that time, Paul added, quote, "Every one of us shall give account of himself to God," unquote. The phrase, "give account," connoted a legal setting where a claimant had the opportunity to make his case before a judicial tribunal. Therefore, the judgment seat of Christ focuses on a Christian's post-salvation conduct. Paul informed Christians that, according to the second chapter of the book of Ephesians, Christians, quote, "are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them," unquote. The judgment seat of Christ serves as the arena in which God tests the value of a believer's work. In 1 Corinthians chapter 3, Paul detailed the nature of such a trial. He compared the Christian life to a building, an edifice having no other foundation apart from Jesus Christ. The apostle went on to state, quote, "Now if any man build upon this foundation, gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, stubble, every man's work shall be made manifest, for the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire, and the fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is," unquote. What are the consequences that can ensue from such testing? Paul continued, quote, "If any man's work abide, which he hath built thereupon, he shall receive a reward," unquote. By contrast, Paul continued, quote, "If any man's work shall be burned, he shall suffer loss, but he himself shall be saved, yet so as by fire," unquote. Thus, at the judgment seat of Christ, Christians do not forfeit their eternal salvation. Instead, they will suffer the loss of rewards, rewards they could have received had they proved faithful to their calling. This is Mark Oshman with the International Board of Jewish Missions, bringing you another radio Bible study.
You've been listening to The Everlasting Nation, a ministry of International Board of Jewish Missions. For more information, you can contact us at 423-876-8150 or go online to ibjm.org. Until next time, may God bless and shalom.